Hi, welcome to another episode of Meg and Law. And we're here today to talk to you about some more human design, astrology, astrogeography, and all kinds of interesting things like that. Meg?
Yes. we're back.
We thought we were lost and then we found ourselves.
Yeah.
There's been quite a gap between our last recording and this recording, and there's just been so much going on. There's been a lot of Mercury energy and lots of changes, and it's been very, with this last retrograde, we felt like that everything was preventing us from actually recording and making this happen.
Yeah. And it's kind of ironic that we're going to talk about Saturn today, and it's like the need for control, getting things right. It's very real too.
And that's been quite the theme through this last retrograde, is that Saturn energy of wanting to have control and then not having control, and Mercury just kind of taking control and affecting all kinds of communication, connectivity, everything that's related to wanting things to be a certain way and it not being, and having to, I guess, surrender.
Yeah. Yeah, like we're in the midst of retrograde season. So like there's like six planets on retrograde at the moment. So that's probably also, we love to blame Mercury for everything, but it's probably a little bit of everything.
Also, a bit of a fruit salad out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you lead the conversation with regards to Saturn and introducing Saturn, talking about it, because we just don't get to talk enough about Saturn in these forums, you could say, or just generally, because Saturn is quite scary. He's very male dominated, authoritarian. And whenever someone hears they're going to be on a Saturn line, or there's a Saturn exalted in their chart or Saturn, everyone's like, and there's a scariness about it, because it's like, well, that energy is not an energy people want to identify with, and it's an energy we struggle with. So would you like to share a little bit more about Saturn?
Yeah, so I think Saturn is one of the big players in my chart. So I have, I was born on a Saturn line, a Saturn relationship line. And actually, my south node is ruled by Saturn as well. So maybe that's also kind of relevant, I guess. But yeah, so Saturn for me in astrocartography is, we think of the need for, Saturn likes control, it likes order, it's self-discipline, responsibility, hard work. And that doesn't sound as glam as all as, you know, some other lines that people are kind of, you know, gravitate towards. You know, it's not filled with optimism or anything like that. It's actually, you know, have you done all of the, you know, tick boxes? Have you done everything you needed to do? And oftentimes we think of Saturn as like, yeah, a father figure. It's like, you know, have you done all your schoolwork? Then you can go out and play, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But if you think of astrocartography Saturn lines as lines that actually want a detailed itinerary. So if you're going on a holiday and you're looking for a place like an all-inclusive, detailed order of events, you know, you wake up at breakfast, then you know you're going to a tour at 10 and you're coming back for a buffet lunch, and you know all of the, you know, times for everything. Saturn would love that. So a Saturn organized itinerary would be good. If you're living on a Saturn line, it does become quite tricky. I suppose you have to look at where your Saturn is placed in your chart. For me personally, my Saturn is in my sixth house of work and health. It's next to, sitting right on top of my Mars. Both of them are in Libra. So it is taken me a long time to sort of understand what it needs, because I like structure, I like routine, I like all of the idea, the idea behind having order, you know, to chaos and control and all of that. But my Mars and Libra really likes to think, so, you know, a lot, and like mull over different options and, you know, balance out everyone else's needs in the room. And so growing up, living on that Saturn line, I felt that need was the control of other people, you know, kind of rules were given to me, not discussed with me. You know, that need for responsibility, being wiser beyond my years, and on all of that. Not that I didn't have like an awful childhood, but I did feel like there was a lot of control put on me. And only later in life have I realized that what you need to see Saturn is it's coming from a place of love. It's sometimes not the fun things you want to do with your life, but it really is trying to support you. And if you can think of Saturn as support, I think it changes the characteristics of Saturn a little bit. It's like, it can be serious, but it's more, looking after you from love, like from a loving point of view. Other options, you know, other things that Saturn can actually offer us is balancing or stabilizing our emotions. So grounding us, if we have issues with control or tendency to overwork and burn ourselves out, Saturn can kind of slow things down a little bit for us and help us ground ourselves and stabilize ourselves. So that's, you know, another positive to Saturn. I've somehow always have lived in a place that has some Saturn energy to it. It's like I'm drawn to it. So I went from a Saturn relationship line, and I've moved now to a Saturn line that's more linked to my health. And I do find that my energy stabilizes quite a bit. So if I look at my Mars placement sitting next to my Saturn, my Mars placement wants the physical activity that I do, because it's in Libra, it wants it to be pretty and it wants to be nice. And so if I do a small walk, or like nothing too overexertive, but like if I do a nice walk out in nature, I immediately feel that sense of comfort that comes from Saturn, of like just grounding myself a little bit. So yeah, I realize I'm probably not still selling Saturn, going like, move to your Saturn line. It sounds fun, doesn't it? And then everyone's like, this sounds boring.
We don't want that.
Yeah, but it is. It's dependable and it's stable energy. You put in the work and you get rewarded. I've got a lot of clients that have lived on Saturn career lines and had very successful careers because of it.
It makes you focused in that area. But I guess also, if you're in a space and you don't have the focus you need to feed that Saturn line, then it can just turn into chaos, I guess, because, yeah. And that's why it's important to know where your Saturn line sits in your chart, for us all individually to understand that. Yeah. And then where in relation you are to that energy in the world. So how close you are to that line to see how it needs to be nourished, let's say. Because if you're working self-employed, you're close to your Saturn line, it's in your career, but you're not really making progress, then being self-employed is not going to really work for you. You're going to actually have to really put yourself out there. You need something. I want to use the word, because Saturn is sort of this, like it's a warrior energy. It's an energy that wants to go out there and it wants to make something and do it. It's like, you know, on the relationship line, I want to be successful. This relationship's going to work. We're going to pull together, you know, it's going to be like this and that. So this is like very positive energy activation. So the same would apply to career. I'm not close to a Saturn line myself in my chart here. Yeah. Saturn, as Meg was telling me before, is in my 12th house, and that's affecting spirituality and home. Is also that aspect correct?
It's a little bit more unconscious. It's like the stuff that happens behind closed doors.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because spirituality is a behind the closed door aspect, and how much discipline I apply to my spirituality is very Saturn like, but it's not something that's out there that I can compare, or it can be shown, basically. Yes. So it's a very inward, it's very 12th house in that.
And sometimes, like for your particular placement, that Saturn, you know, you might have struggles with like feeling misunderstood, like because Saturn, it like kind of, it in the 12th house, it's a lonely, like it's a little bit lonely. It's like a lonely journey that you've had to, and you've got it in Libra as well. So there's a thought and a balance and a need to measure everything and consider everyone else's needs. So your spirit, your link to spirituality is crucial to balancing you out and to looking after you. But the relationships that you have with other people or, you know, might leave you feeling like they don't get me, like that's misunderstood, you know.
Yeah, totally. And when I looked also at our human design and I looked at your design and my design, I looked for where Saturn was. And I'd love to encourage those listening and watching to look where your Saturn sits in your human design chart. It's easy enough to check these symbols. And it's not the same for all of us, but because Meg and I are so close in age and there's a lot of similarities in our chart, both of ours happen to sit in the spleen. And both of our spleens are defined, as we had discussed before. And splenic awareness and having that in your spleen, the spleen is the fear center. There's a lot of fear around that too. So, you know, here you've got Saturn sitting in an area of intuition plus inherent fear. And so the gates that are active, we see in Meg's chart, we see 57 and 32. And 57 is about this fear of the future and worrying about the future. But it's also, again, bringing us back to the spleen, and it's saying, what is the now energy? Because now creates the future. So let's come back to the now. Are we making the right decisions in the now? So having Saturn sort of shadowing over that, you know, for both of us as well, it's like I can totally relate to that energy of worrying about it and having that Saturn flavor of that dominating it.
Yeah. And like, it's interesting because even though we're, you know, and I suppose this is a beautiful example of like how all charts are different. So even though our Saturns are both in Libra, yours is sitting in the 12th house, mine is sitting in the 6th house. So, you know, just the way that the movement of all the planets have kind of laid out in our charts. And it's so interesting that you said that futurizing is like, it's like a number one thing that I do. And when I get into those spells of fear, which Saturn can sometimes bring, because it's sitting so close to my Mars, the best thing, which doesn't feel like the best thing in the moment, but is actually just to do a bit of movement. And so maybe also just looking like yours would be, even though your Mars is not near your Saturn, because your Saturn is in your 12th house, the best thing for you, which is probably not what you want to do, is getting out of your head, is like being connected with people and, you know, getting outside. No.
Amazing, because that where my Mars is placed is in my heart, not my G-suit, my heart space. I always say heart because when I say heart, people think heart, and then that's G center in human design, but actually the willpower, the heart, which is all about community and giving to the tribe, and the root, which is about the grounding as well. So it's quite interesting how that makes sense. It's like ground yourself through giving to the tribe, working with community, and that's how you can bring yourself back and you find purpose.
Yeah.
Another part of the splenic aspect with your chart, you've got 32 and I've got 18. So 32 is about the fear of failure. So again, the taskmaster standing around saying, you know, will you be able to do it? You should be afraid of the future. Can you achieve? There's this real strong fear of failure. Plus you have Saturn holding that whip over you in the aspect of your astrological chart, which it dominates.
Yeah.
So, you know, here, just for those watching and listening, we've got to think of this. It's never in isolation. And that's what this is about. It's always a bit of something in an aspect elsewhere. Yeah. And that's what makes the whole. It's a bit like the pie. So, you know, that having that in your sixth house, that fear of failure, it's going to translate the splenic aspect into that field of your beingness. And for me, it's fear of authority. I have this terrible fear of authority inside of me. And authority is just very dominating, but very Saturn energy. Here it is. It's saying it's very Saturnian. So as soon as somebody starts to dominate authority over me, I have this, like, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And yeah. I can retaliate in various ways. Like, I don't want to be controlled or fearful of the control.
Yes. And then all of that actually activates, or you've got other things that in Scorpio and whatever that goes, well, screw you. And, you know, you kind of like dig your heels in or whatever. And for me, I have Aquarian energy. So it's just like, I just rebel against it. And that's like, even it's kind of the best example that I can give you is that, you know, whatever your parents' advice was when you were a kid and you were like, screw that, I'm doing it in the opposite way. And it's just like, it's that Saturn going, have you got all your boxes ticked? Have you been responsible? Don't commit to your, you know, to this if you're not going to do the hard work. And then I go, I'm going to do it, you know, rebel, you know, or I'm not going to do it, rebel.
So, and what you actually said there about committing to it and then doing the work made me think of a chart that I was looking at a few weeks ago where Saturn was dominating the sacral area. So it generated a chart and it was happening in the sacral. And it was all about, you know, the overcommitment, the generator energy. Yes. Once I go into this, how do I push myself? So for those generators, manifesting generators, listening to this, check where that is in your chart and how you commit to that Saturn energy inside of yourself. Because those will also be places where, for instance, if for the sacral, you could be depleting energy. Yeah. And pulling yourself right to the ends of your capacity, or it could be in your head as well. And then it's this like, you are your own worst enemy.
Yeah. 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 Jesus. We always think of Saturn as like the unfun, you know, aspect, but actually sometimes understanding it is actually, it's with everything in this chart. It's like, you know, you take a journey of like, okay, your sun, your moon, your rising. And then you just start exploring all of these other aspects and realizing, yeah, that they're all interconnected and you can't move away from it. So best you understand what it is you're working with. I think Saturn would appreciate if you just did a bit of research on it.
Very Saturnian.
Yeah.
From the mouth of Saturn to the ears of the listeners.
It's my self node going, yes, we love a plan. Let's do a plan.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to watch, to listen, to be part of this. We really appreciate the support. If you'd love to connect with us, see below, all the info is there. And, you know, if you would like to also connect with us together for a reading, we were talking about collaborating, Megan and I, and we can look at your chart. As long as you've had readings with each of us individually, we can do the collaborative reading because it's easier. Yes. And, you know, we can look at your chart. We can talk about different aspects, unpack it a bit. So, yeah, contact us. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to, what's our end line?
Love you and leave you.
Love you and leave you. We need like an outro tune, like do 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 do.
Yeah. You do the singing. I'll just do the dance. Like.
I'll make the noises.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.